Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Triple H, for allowing us to use your theme song. After 9 months hiatus, the Madden voice returns. We are back. It is me, Commissioner T. It's been a long time, but it's good to be back. And we're going to do things a lot differently this year. This is season number 5 of the Madden voice. We started back in 08, and we have done... through 5 versions of Madden, and you know, this is a good time to start a new year of the Madden voice, with the game being out now just a week and 2 days before the NFL season begins. And you know, to be honest with you, I was pretty much never going to do another Madden voice. The last show was December 14th of 2010, and I was pretty much done. But I got to say, there's a lot of good people out there. I mean, you never know who your friends are until you face adversity. And I got to say, there's a lot of good people out there that reached out time and time again and said, you know, T, come back. Bring us the Madden voice. Talk to us about the game. Talk to us about Madden. Talk to us about football. And you know what? We're back. The Madden voice. New format, new version year, new direction, new game. What do you think of the game? Madden has been out now for a week. What do you think of the game? We have a very, very good show planned tonight for our inaugural season premiere. In a minute, I'll be introducing my co-hosts. I am going to have a co-host every week. Thank you, thank you. Applause, please. Let me get some applause on that one. Come on now, applause. Yeah, thank you. Gonna have a co-host. We are also going to be having people calling in and doing special features. We are expecting the commissioner, kind of weird for me to say this, but the commissioner of the EAFL, Earl Acker, has been doing just a fabulous job at resurrecting the league. And he's going to come in, talk a little bit about the league, talk a little bit about the new game. And, you know, some of the things going on in the community. We also are expecting K-Star to call in. You may remember that a couple of years back or a couple of seasons ago, K-Star actually had a stint as a co-host on the Madden Voice. And he contacted me, and K-Star will be returning. And, you know, K-Star has a very strong history in the game, including being in Madden Nation Season 4. So if you've watched any of the Madden Nations and you saw the last one, you know, then you saw K-Star. And, you know, he's also going to call in and talk a little bit about the new game. And we might get a couple of people call in, Philly Ron. Many people know Philly Ron for his time and service in the community. And He's going to try to call in. He's a busy dude, but he's going to try to call in. And Jay Rod, who is doing a tournament in a couple of weeks. And so we've asked Rod to call in and talk a little bit about his tournament. So he's going to try to call in as well. And we invited S. Gibbs, who is an author for the Prima Madden Guy. S. Gibbs, you may remember, was also part of the EAF some time ago. And the guy's, you know, really the Madden Bible, and now working for Prima, is doing some pretty good stuff. So not sure if he's going to call in, but I wanted to get him on. And while I'm on that subject, you know, if you want to promote your Madden entity, whatever it may be, just reach out to me. You can just go right on to Facebook and look up the Madden Voice, or go to Twitter and look up the Madden Voice, and just contact me and just say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. Hey, can I go and plug whatever it may be, your league, your tournament, your show? You want to plug it? Come on, we're here for everybody, the Madden Voice. But without any further ado, let me introduce my co-host. This guy has been around since day one. I want to say 6-plus years ago. First Super Bowl winner of the EAFL. And arguably one of the more passionate people you'll ever find to talk about NFL. And he's going to chop it up with us tonight and every week here on the Madden Voice. And we all know him as Train. So, Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? I appreciate the kind words. It truly has been about 6 years since the days of running over you guys with A-Train.
Yeah, I remember playing you. And I remember saying to Bama that there was something wrong with your scheme. And I remember saying that this guy's run game is just too good. I think he's glitching me, but I don't really know how. And you weren't. You were just that good.
So that took a lot of time playing against the computer on all match.
Right.
I'm definitely glad to be a co-host of the show. I mean, we both know it took a minute to make that decision, but I figured 2 hours each week to talk about the NFL. I talk more than 2 hours about the NFL when they're doing that time. So
yeah, true.
Definitely got
true
to be here.
True. And for those of you who are tuning back in for the first time, call-in number has not changed. 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. Feel free to call in and anything you want to talk about, Madden or NFL related. And if you don't want to call in but you want to send a question or a comment, we are now going straight to Twitter. So I have my Twitter up, The Madden Voice on Twitter. Send me a message, let me know what you're thinking, and we'll go from there. So we are going to start with NJ Rod. NJ Rod from KOTC is calling in, and let's bring Rod in to talk about some of the things that he's doing.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What is going on, NJ Rod?
Yeah, just gearing up, man. I actually started work today. School's back in session, so back to the grind and everything. All the kids are back, this and that. As far as Madden goes, I just want to talk about an upcoming event that I have for September 18th, which is a Sunday. The event is called the LeGrand Bowl, and it's a benefit tournament for Eric LeGrand, who suffered paralysis in a game, Rutgers versus the Army. He was a defensive tackle for Rutgers University, coming down the field on a kickoff, and he was paralyzed. So what we're doing is we're getting people together, the Rutgers community, New Jersey community, hopefully the Madden community, and I'm just going to go in and play some Madden, $20 entry, and now we got like $500 in prizes, some Xboxes, some controllers, gamer optics glasses, some GameStop gift cards, just that type of thing. It's not a big money type thing, this and that, but what it is just a way to... to help a young man and his family out with a noble cause. So that's what we're going to be doing. Our website is for this event is www.legrandbowl.com. That's pretty much what I've been focusing on the last couple of weeks. So, you know, after that's over, then we'll get into the regular tournament season. But that's first and foremost on my list right now.
Now, what made you pick this event or this cause? I mean, it's a great, great cause. What made you latch on to this one?
Well, a couple things. I mean, just being a football player for the bigger part of my, you know, adolescence, high school, college football player, and then being a coach. And I also live right in this area, and Rutgers football is pretty big at this point. You know, we've put more guys in the NFL than Miami, Notre Dame, big machines like that, Penn State, over the last 4 or 5 years, guys like Ray Rice, Kenny Britt, Gary Brackett, et cetera. There's almost 30-some-odd NFL guys from Rutgers right now. So it's a big thing out here, and the Eric LeGrand story is huge. The young man is just turned 21 years old, but his enthusiasm towards life and his outlook for positive is unmatched. So with all that put together and me doing Madden, like, it was just a perfect fit and just something that I had to do, and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And how's the community response been to the event?
Community response, the Madden community is weird. They're a silent community. You know, a lot of the times you know they're coming when they show up. So what we're doing is really hitting out the local community as far as the New Brunswick area, Rutgers campus, stuff like that. As far as like the Madden community, you know, I've had a couple private messages here and there from a lot of the ballers. Looks like that's going to be pretty good also. So, you know, we're looking at it. We're looking at a decent turnout. And we have a couple guys that we're going to do announcing. We're going to have DJs. Jay Rios, a good friend of mine from a couple years ago, he's coming out of retirement to do some announcing for the event.
Oh, that's great. I know Jay. Jay will do a great job.
Yeah, out here on the East Coast, Funkmaster Flex was a big-time DJ in the New York area, just put out something on his website for the event. So, you know, we're looking for a real good time.
Well, that's great. That is great. I think it's a great cause. And, you know, as you and I talked about, Rod, I mean, we've seen enough, you know, trials and tribulations and adversity in this community. But, you know, you always seem to come through and still moving forward and still trying to do something positive. And, you know, commend you for that, because, you know, in today's economy, it's real easy to just say, well, you know what, I'm going to do something that's going to benefit me, you know, just benefit my people, because that's what a lot of people are doing today. But to latch on to this cause and then to use Madden as a vehicle to try to help this young man and his family out, you know, I mean, hey, guys, you know, you're going to see it on the Madden Voice webpage and on the Madden Voice Facebook page. And Rod, say what's the website again for people that want to find out more about the tournament?
Yeah, you can go to LeGrand, LEGRAND, LeGrand Bowl, BOWL.com. One word, LeGrandBowl.com. All one word, and you can check out all the information right there.
LeGrandBowl.com. Guys, check it out. You know, participate. If you can't participate, maybe throw a few dollars in and donate or figure out a way to help. It's a great cause.
Yeah, it's on the front page of Rutgers Football Athletics page. And you can also, the donations go straight to the Belief Fund that was established by Rutgers University. So if anybody even just wanted to make a donation that was out of state or in a situation where they couldn't get down there, you know, if they log on to our website, there's links that go right to the foundation. You know, this is 100% is going to the foundation. And, you know, it's just something, like I said, this is a good cause for a good person. So we're gonna get this in.
Wow, excellent, excellent. Hey, what do you think of the new game?
I think the new game is good. I think it's a positive move for getting more people into the Madden community. I think that's a big thing that has to be focused on at this point. Getting more individuals on the game. You know, when I went out I've been at Rutgers the past couple of weeks, just doing little things. Going to games, this and that. And this time of the year, the big thing that you see out there is rush parties for fraternities. Everybody's trying to get collect people, get bigger. That's the goal. So you see, you know, pledge this, rush that, et cetera. Like, that's
right.
What people are doing. That's what people are doing right now. And I think that attitude has to be, the Vatican community has to embrace that also. Just it's out to make things expand. I think that's the way to go. So, you know, you have to use unique methods of tournaments and everything. The offline tournament, as we know it, is almost the way of the dinosaur, just because of different things and different situations that's going on. So, you know, hopefully we can re-energize and get the community that's existing, you know, to buy in. Or if you can't get those to buy in, then you get new ones to buy in. But I think it's a critical point here at Madden. So hopefully, you know, with some of these college kids and, you know, $10, $20 entries and things like that, we can rejuvenate. So that's one of the goals that we're looking for, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Beautiful. Beautiful. Any other comments?
No, I'm pretty good right now. Like I said, that's my major focus. After that, we'll have an event coming up October 8th in conjunction with Gears of War and, Halo and all that other good stuff. So right now, like I said, the focus is the LeGrand Bowl, and we're just trying to get the word out to everybody that can possibly make it out there, and those who can't, can donate.
Excellent. Sounds good. Well, we'll have one more show before your tournament, so certainly feel free next Tuesday if you have time to, call in again, and let's hit it one more time. And just let everybody know that this is happening, and that this is a great cause, and people should rally together to support this young man and his family.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks a lot.
All right, Rod. Appreciate you calling in, brother.
All right, bro. Thank you. Take care.
Yep. You too.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Train. Are you there?
I'm still here, man.
All right. I had to put you on mute. I'm getting a little feedback from you. So you might have to kill that speaker.
Oh, I'm going to have to switch off.
I'm sorry, brother. But while you're doing that, I'm going to put you back on hold for a minute, and I'm going to bring in Philly Ron. Hold on 1 second there, Train. And let's bring in Philly Ron. Philly Ron, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's up, T? How you been, man?
I've been well, man. It's good to have you back on the show. Good to be back. And, I want to say this while I have you on. You know, one of the people that reached out to me over the last several months, as I was in a little undecisive on what I wanted to do and, how I wanted to proceed with the Madden Voice, with the EAFL, and just the whole thing. And you were one of those guys that kept in touch and kept giving me positive reinforcement and just said, hey, man, we need people like you in a community. There's a role for everybody. And, you've always been that voice of unity in this community. You've always been that guy to say, hey, there's room for everybody. We all need to work together. And, let's keep it positive. So I just want to say publicly on the air, man, I personally really appreciate, your support and your friendship over the last, last year or so that I've been going through some stuff, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot. I don't do that stuff for any publicity. It's just, I actually look at everybody in the community as a friend. I've been doing the Madden thing forever. And when first coming in, the tournament community didn't really have a positive outlook. And they still, as far as how people look at it, still don't have a positive outlook. So I always have tried to be, just act accordingly so that people can look at us in a positive way. And in doing that, time I meet somebody, I got to make sure that, hey, look, this is what we need. We need everybody to be on that same positive level. So, no, I appreciate that, man. It ain't treat you just like family.
Well, I felt it. I appreciate it. And, it is something that I really needed to, kind of call out there and let everybody know. Because, I've been away. So, I really don't know what's been going on. I mean, I peek in every once in a while and, but I have not felt this out of touch general since you know, I started doing the EAFL back in 05, you know, and I've spent the last couple of weeks kind of jumping in and going to different, you know, pages and just reading stuff and just trying to get a sense of where, you know, who was doing what and who was where. And, you know, so it was good just to have, you know, and there were other people and you know, I'll give them shout outs as appropriate, but it was just really good to just have somebody out there saying, hey, wait a minute, before you walk away, think about it. So, you are definitely a gentleman and a scholar.
I appreciate that. I'll be the gentleman. I appreciate it. You, Rod, and a bunch of other guys have the higher degrees, but I definitely appreciate the fact that you guys appreciate what I do.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. So what is it, you know, what are you involved in these days? I know you're coaching your football team.
That's about it right now.
Okay. We got to give your team a shout-out.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Frankfurt Chargers, 160-pound Division One team. They're started off on Saturday, 25. I'm sorry, man. My son just ran down here, 25-0. And we have our second game on this coming Saturday. So things are looking well. What I'm doing with that is I actually reached out to the mayor of Philadelphia to try to get him to come and do a coin toss for us. It's an election year for him. He's not trying to do it for publicity, but I told him the last time we talked, which was this man, I just want people to understand how huge this is in the grand scheme of things as far as just your regular everyday life stuff. When you live in a city that has a high crime rate, it's rare that you see people really do stuff for the young community. A lot of politicians talk about it, but a lot of people don't really, you know, put effort behind their words. So our team has twice in the last 3 years gone down to Florida to compete in the Pop Warner National Championship Series. Basically, you win your region, and then you get invited to Disney to play for the Super Bowl. Well, you got to win 3 games in order to win the actual Super Bowl. So your first 2 games are your qualifiers, and all this is done within a week. So the mayor of Philadelphia has helped us raise money in order to get there. And I'm not talking about like $5,000. I'm talking about $30,000 just this past year, so that our team can get down there. And then in 08, I think it was something like $25,000. And then coming back from the trip this past winter, he threw a parade for our kids. Like a little league team had an official parade, meaning we started at City Hall in Philadelphia, and they took us on trolleys and marched all the way down to Temple's campus, which is a good 20 or 30 blocks. It's half the route of what it would have been if the Eagles or the Phillies won the championship, but you go from City Hall down to the sports complex. So it was amazing that he did that. And while we're on the trolley, I'm just telling him, I said, look, man, we really appreciate what you're doing. Like, I don't, outside of you being the mayor, just as a man, we really appreciate this because as coaches, we're out here telling our kids to be positive. But, I mean, you can't put that in words. Your city gave you a parade.
Right.
Professionals only get that. And your city did that for you. So I told him, look, I don't care if you ask us or not. We will do whatever you need when it comes time for you to get, you know, reelected. And it's not even about that, but I just reached out to him, and he turned back around 5 minutes later and said, you know what, I would love, it would be an honor for us to come out, for me to come out and do this coin toss. So we're trying to set that up now. But as always, you know, even if it's not mad, and you know how I am, I'm more about a legacy because I'm at the end of my so-called Madden career.
Sure.
And as far as me playing regular ball, I don't play anymore. So what I'm doing now is trying to leave, you know, the most important thing that I have is my name, is my last name. My father gave me his name. I gave my name to my son. And I have to leave. You know, that's what I leave. That's what's going to carry on. So I want to make sure that there's nothing negative that's attached to that name. So, yeah, you know, I want certain things for myself, but I can't look at it that way because I got to make sure that the benefit is there for my, you know, for my son. So if I got to sacrifice a little, you know, I'll do that. So, you know, my effort and my role in my community is to just be a positive, you know, role model for these kids in our community and to be a connector, you know. So if I have a connection with someone who you may not be able to reach because of your circumstances, my job is to put you in connection with, put you in contact with that person. And right. if it flourishes, it flourishes. And you know that from me. I mean, when we first met, it was about, okay, hey, you know, T, you, that's what's up. You're from T, you were from TML. I'm from DG. This is what we're going to do, get you in touch with all our people inside so that no matter where you want to be, you had that opportunity to go there. And if it takes off, fine. But if not, you know, I was out there, not trying to say I was out there, but it's my job to make sure that I extend that hand to you to make sure that you can get to where you want to go. So, you know,
I
try to do that in every phase that I'm in.
Now, let me ask you a question on that very topic of extending hands and helping people. One of the things that I saw in the Madden community is a lot of things have changed in several months that I've kind of been on my hiatus. And one of the things I saw was something that I was familiar with you being very involved with, the Prima Strategy Guide. Mm-hmm. And I see a guy that came actually originated out of the EAFL and, you know, went on to do some other things with Madden Bible and what have you. And now mm-hmm. I see Skibbs is actually a writer for a Prima Guide. I don't know what went on. Was this all positive? Was this all like congratulations, good?
Well,
you know,
it's not negative about it. I when I heard they were awarded the contract, just like many other people heard. Some people in the community were surprised. I wasn't really. I'm not gonna say it bothered me one way or other. But what I did do was I called him right away, and he can, you know, they can tell you this. I called him right away and said, one, I expect greatness from you. Two, I'll give you a little bit of advice. You got to work this thing every single day, every minute. You can't take a break on it. It's a huge project. If you need any advice as far as how to work it, I'm there for you. But I'm not gonna put you in jeopardy as far as you trying to or asking about what's going into the guide or this and that. The only thing I'm here for is if you know, I can give you my past experience, but that's it. That's as far as I can go because I don't want to jeopardize you. I know how this thing works, and that was it. You know, I wanted to make sure I called them, congratulated them, and said, listen, I expect greatness from you guys. Same conversation
sure.
that I had or that was had to me. By Swami, pulling me aside and say, hey, you're the face of VG. Bert runs that company, but the tournament community sees you. So when you're out here, make sure you're acting appropriate. And what I'm telling them by, I expect excellence from you guys, is the fact that Prima sees you as the man of community. So I could care less. I can't put whether I want contract or not in front of that. You're now the tournament community or the Madden community or the so-called elite community. So I need you guys to perform at that level, and I need you guys to know that you have the support so that you can perform at that level. Because God forbid you don't perform at that level, we may not ever keep this contract in the Madden community. So that's my purpose. You know, that was my purpose of reaching out to them. But, you know, I hope they're doing they're doing great with it. I don't know too much. I just, you know, I used to talk to them a lot on Twitter. We don't talk as much, but I always still reach out and say, hey, what's up? How are you guys doing? Great job. You know, if they put a question out there, I try to respond to help keep the conversation going. Just do what I can when I can.
Sure. And I certainly wasn't in any way trying to start anything, but you know me, I'm gonna ask the tough question because that's what I do here at the Madden Voice.
Yeah.
But I noticed it, and you know, I certainly sent S Kids a congratulation note. You know, I was happy for him and his aspirations, and you know, in some respects, I mean, as you said, you know, winding down your Madden time, and you know, it kind of signifies, you know, a changing of the guard, if you will. You know, we do our time and we give what we can to the community, but you know, it's time for new blood and new talent to come through, and you know, our roles begin to change a bit. You know, like right now, you know, as an example, and the new commissioner, if you will, the guy that's really running the EAFL will be calling in shortly to talk about the league, but I have almost no involvement with the league anymore. You know, very, 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 very minimal involvement. It's really being run completely by somebody else, and I'm happy about that. I'm really proud of him and what he's doing, and kind of the same thing, you know, when he stepped up and said, hey, T, you know, I'm ready to take the ball and run with it, and you know, I'd say this time next year I'll be completely out of it, completely, you know, it'll be 100% his show, and you know, life will go on. So but like you said, you know, I think, Ron, you as much as anybody in this community will leave a legacy. I mean, you will be one of those guys that will be talked about for years, and people will continue to seek you out for your knowledge and your wisdom. And you know, so even though you may be winding down, you'll never be too far away because people are always going to be looking for you, you know, to contribute, to help out, and, you know, give advice. And so, you know, we're going to suck you dry.
No, I appreciate it. I'm working on a project. Me and Bobby are working on a project now that we'll let everybody know about in the future. But outside of Madden, since I said I am coaching regular football, I have also started a real coaching site. It's called VG Football Coaching. And it's basically what we're doing is we're focusing on youth football and trying to basically put a blueprint out there for people who are interested in volunteering coaching or first-year coaches. Just things that you need to do in order to start off, to get a proper start. So I'm going more into real coaching. You know, I love the game. I love dealing with the kids. I only did Madden because it was a supplement to me playing football. And even when doing that, it was just, hey, how can I reach kids? Kids love to play the game. I can teach the kids how to play the game according to how it's played on the field, and that way when they do go to the field, they'll understand some of the terms that they're hearing. So in doing that, I've always kind of been coaching, but now it's full-fledged, and we actually started, me and Bert actually started a site developed to pure football coaches. So that's what we're doing now. So if you guys, you know, just check it out, BG. Footballcoaching.com, and just, you know, give me some feedback on it. Let me know what you think about it. It's kind of basic right now, but again, this is for real football. This isn't Madden. You don't call purples and yellows in real football. They actually have real names. You got curl hat zones and you have hook zones and things of that nature. And we don't say the defensive end on the left side of the screen. That's your right DN. So. You know, just things like that. I just want to give people, you know, give people out there who want the opportunity to learn more about the game, give them a chance to do that.
That's great. That's great, man. All right. To see that you keep them busy, and, you know, that's great. Definitely. You said VGFootballCoaching.com?
Yes.
Okay, excellent, excellent. All right. Hey, Ron, man, I, you know, really appreciate you finding time to call in and, you know, let us know what you've been up to and what you're working on. And, you know, we're going to be here through football season every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, the Madden Voice.
Okay.
So even if you don't see the ad, I mean, unless it's a holiday or some special event, you know, we'll be here. And feel free.
Call me, and you've got plenty of talking to do about our pro team. So I would definitely give you a call next week.
All right. Sounds good, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Good talking to you.
All right. Good talking to you. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That was Philly Ron, as we know him. because his name is Ron and he's from Philly. And when he's talking about pro team, he's talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. I actually should have asked him to stay around. I know he's really busy and he's probably got to get some family time in now. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys, him and I. So, and I know you're eagerly awaiting NFL talk that's coming up next. But before we get to NFL talk with Train, we have Train sitting on hold. Hopefully he took me off speakerphone. We are going to bring in, I recognize the number. God, you know, I've been away for a long time, but some numbers I still remember. And this here is my former co-host and EA champion, as well as a Madden Nation contestant. And this would be the one and only, if this thing would allow me to take him off hold, K-Star.
What up, T?
What up, K-Star, man? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. How's things going, bro?
Oh, things are good, man. Things are good. You know, I, you know, went away and kind of left the game behind. And, you know, a lot of good people out there said, man, bring the Madden voice back. So I said, hey, why not? Let's bring the Madden voice back and let's talk some Madden. Let's talk some NFL football. And, man, you know, you take off for a few months. Or, I don't know. It's been about 8 or 9 months. And I feel like everything's changed, man. I mean, It's a whole new community in not even been a year, you know. New game, EA Sports is doing all kinds of different things now. We've got the Game Changer program and the online version tournaments, and I mean, geez, what are your thoughts on all of these things that are going on in the community now?
They're all pretty positive. I like it. Game Changers is pretty cool. You know, they basically almost the game like they should. And, you know, there's been a whole bunch of new stuff, a lot of new people like there are every year come and play the game, get competitive on it or whatever. So I welcome it. I enjoy it. It's good to have new blood in there for me to feast upon. You know, I'm like a shark out there, so I appreciate it. Josh has got to get his filling in, so it's good.
What do you think of the new Virgin Gaming taking over the online, you know, as EA Sports says on the website, they are the only authorized entity for online Madden gaming. And, you know, what do you think about their involvement now and it being kind of official through EA Sports now?
I like it. I mean, Virgin Games are nothing but great. I mean, they threw the tournament last year when there really wasn't anything going on. They threw that $25,000 tournament. Obviously, I can't leave the styles in the finals of that tournament. Me and Los, and he ended up beating me in overtime. It was cool. Like, they just – I played over, like, 280 money games in there last year. I got it in. All kinds of people were on that site, like, just literally all kinds of people that you didn't even know to play Madden, like, just regular Eastern kids. It's good. Like, people are just getting more involved. I think it's going to help grow the community a bit because now it's like you got a uniform, you got a shield or whatever, for online Madden gambling and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. They're doing it big this year, too, with the $100,000 tournament. So I'm definitely trying to get back in that final game. So I'm pretty excited for it. I love what they're doing.
Yeah, I saw that. That's very exciting for the community. And, you know, I meant to ask Rod, and maybe we'll get him back next week. I'm wondering how, you know, this has affected and how this will continue to affect the live tournaments. You know, we've been saying for years that, you know, online tournaments are the wave of the future, and it seems the future is now here. And wondering, you know, now what does this mean for the local tournament directors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year, even when the whole VG thing went down, the tournaments were still pretty good. I didn't really notice any setback, but Eagles still came out or whatever. But now it's just, you know, more people who wouldn't go to tournaments are competing online for that big paycheck at the end of the day. That's what we're all kind of competing for. And it's cool because, like, I mean, with the Madden Challenge, as great as it was, like, you know, there's a lot of people who didn't play in it, who didn't have access to go to these Madden Challenges. And now with it being online, on Virgin Game, is like, it's just, there's no excuse. The best player will be there, or will win, or will be there, or whatever the case may be. So there's no zip code, there's no area code. Everyone's going to participate, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So what do you think of the new game? It's been out for a week. You probably had it longer, but what do you think of the new game?
I love it, to be honest. Yeah. Like, this is the first Madden since like 07, I think, where it's actually taking a lot, like a lot of skill that I should be good at. You can't – I mean, there's not I don't want to say there's no gimmicks, because of course there are, but it's not like before. Like, I've said before, some Madden's, like, people kind of got mad at me, like, has a PS2 feel for it. But it definitely does. I'm talking about the jetpack, just stick control in general. Like, it's more timing than it's ever been, like, back it was, you know, PS2 days or whatever. And there's no real, like last year, a big problem with Madden was people were complaining about, you know, face throws. I said face throws, I picked them off anyway, but a lot of people didn't do it last year. And this year, like, just the computer reacts a lot better to these quote-unquote face throws. And for those who don't know what a face throw is, basically it's just pass leading up on a certain route, gets like man coverage or something, and just getting animations to get the ball where the defender can't really do anything about it. But, it's just, the game's great. You know, like I said, it takes a lot of skill. I think more than ever, like the best person will often win their game. I'm just really, really happy with the product. This is the first Madden in a long time where I was like, wow, like I'm not playing just a player. I actually really like playing the game. So that's
right. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, now we're going to be talking NFL in a few minutes. You want to hang around for that?
That's fine. I'll have to talk to Steelers.
All right. Hold on one second. We'll put you back on hold, and I will pick you up in a minute. Hang tight.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to now bring in a guy that we all know as Urlacher. That's his Madden name. And Urlacher is the commissioner of the EAFL. So let's bring on Urlacher. Let's see. Here we go. I'm getting, you know, Blog Talk now has a whole new switchboard and a whole new setup. So yeah, I'm fumbling through. I was used to the setup, but I think I got it. Urlacher, are you there? Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's up, T? What's up, Train? What's up, K-Star?
All right, let's bring Train back on for this part. Too. Train, are you there?
I'm there. I'm here, man. What's
all
up,
right.
What up?
So we have, you know, Train is Urlacher. You may not know this, that Train was our very first Super Bowl champion way back in the Stone Age of the EAFL. And, you know, for some of us who never won an EAFL Super Bowl, it's pretty cool. He was the very first champion way back when, and so no matter what happens with the league, he'll always be able to claim that was the only Super Bowl he won, but at least he won one, you know. But, you know, you've been running the league now for a while, and you know, as we continue this, what I think has been a very, very smooth transition with my involvement really diminished to really behind the scenes and very little, and you've really taken the ball and run with it. And, you know, I think the future of the league, you know, where a year ago the league was in trouble, you know, to be frank, some things happened that I didn't anticipate and really had a staggering and on the ropes for a while, but you've really taken it, you know, the bull by the horns and resurrected the league. And I think, you know, just by the number of invites that I see rolling in, the interest is starting to really pick up again. You know, what do you think? You're hands-on with the league. What do you think is the reason that people are starting to return back to the EAFL?
Well, first of all, Madden 11 wasn't a good game. Madden 12 is a better game. People love playing it more. And the fact that they know that someone's really involved in running this league, and I really want to bring this league back up to where it once was. I'm not going to let it die. They know I'm here. I'm here to stay. I will not let it die. So I'm here.
Hey, that's great. You know, we like that, and I'm sure Train, being a, you know, old EAFL legend, can appreciate, you know, as I was saying to Philly Ron, you know, it is, you know, transition happens, and it's time to bring in new blood in the Madden community on many levels, including the EAFL, and the fact that you've stepped up to really take over and run things. And like I said, I think you're doing a fantastic job, and, you know, Keep up the good work. Now, what do you think of the new game?
I like it. I like the fact that they fixed the zone coverage, because last year's zone coverage really didn't work at all. So we could mix man and zone together. I like the new tackling system. It's way better than last year. I think the AI is a little smarter, and it feels better when I'm playing against my friends one-on-one. I think the game's a lot better this year.
Excellent. That's That's what we like to hear, you know. And you know, I have to commend EA because, you know, in previous years, the Madden Voice was one place that you could call into, and you know, we've had previous these guys. A lot of these guys are no longer with EA Sports, but a lot of the prior game designers and leadership would call into the show and really use the show as a vehicle and a venue to talk about some of the updates with the game. Because it was so hard to figure out, okay, what are they doing to the game? What changes are they made? I got to tell you, this year, I mean, really didn't need us because it was kind of, you know, everything was out in the open. They really let everybody know everything that they were doing, all the changes they were making. There was plenty of information about, you know, what we were going to find in a new game. And so when the game came out, we pretty much knew what to expect. I mean, we didn't know the feel of the game, but we knew the modifications, we knew what they were addressing, and, you know, kudos to EA Sports for really having a lot of transparency this year, you know, as opposed to previous years where it just felt like everything was so secretive. So kudos to them. And on a side note, you know, I realize as I look at my Twitter that Shotmaster and his crew are also on the air as we speak, and so they're actually talking some NHL tonight, so shout out to Shotmaster in his radio show. I really didn't realize that him and I were actually going to be on at the same time. We've always done Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock for as long back as I can remember. And, you know, at this point, I don't see a need to change it, but certainly aren't trying to compete with anybody. So, you know, I know he's over there.
Master, that's my boy.
Yeah, you know, I know he's over there holding it down, doing his thing with Mad Scientist and those guys. And, you know, they're more on a macro level talking about a lot of different, not just Madden, but they talk about a lot of the EA Sports games. So, you know, hey, if you guys get a little, you know, don't like what we're talking about, you know, flip the channel, go over and check them out. And, you know, and if not, come back over here and check us out. That's where we're going to be. All right. So, listen, what I'd like to do, you know, and Erlacher, you're welcome to stay on and join us. We're going to bring K-Star back on, and I want to remind everybody that you can call in the Madden Voice at 347-838-9525. You can also tweet me at the Madden Voice. My Twitter is up right now. I'm watching it. I'm looking at it, and if you send me a tweet, I will get it.
I'm going to interrupt. Can we we got my Twitter out there real quick just for people listening. At Ali Quick, AliQuickKK. I just got to get into Twitter action. But go ahead. My bad. Catch you
all. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Train or Erlacher, you guys got Twitters or, you know, MySpaces or Tumblrs or anything you guys want to throw out there?
Yeah, my Facebook is Erlacher54. Hit me up.
Erlacher54. Train, you got any PR you want to throw out there, man? We're here for everybody, man.
Oh, well, my Twitter is Dr. M-M,
Dr. M-M-I-I. I like that. All right.
Three eyes. You know,
all right.
Gave me Magnus III.
All right. And hey, guys, if you're on Facebook, just go ahead over and look for the Madden Voice and like my page for me. We've been stuck at around 350 likes for a while. I got more people following me on Twitter than actually liking the Facebook page. So go ahead and check us out. We even now have the MaddenVoice.com. So you can also now go to the MaddenVoice.com. And you can also go to EAFLMadden.com as well. It's an integrated site. We've made some modifications. It's still a work in progress. But, you know, we're getting there. We're stepping up. We finally, I know a lot of people must have been, oh, my God, a new site. Because we had the same old tired site for a lot of years. It's gone. We got a new site, new colors, new material. And it's going to be fresh. And we're doing this for you. And we will be here every Tuesday night. I will be here. Train will be here. We're going to get Erlacher calling in as much as we want, or as much as we can. We're going to get K-Star calling in. Got a text message from Bobby Storm, a.k.a. the Madden Buddha. Shout out to everybody. Want to thank Bobby for, you know, at least ignite. He's in his fantasy draft, so he would have called in. It's just great to be back after 9 months of absence. And one other thing, and then we'll jump into NFL. I want to thank all the fans of the Madden Voice. When I logged back in and renewed my membership to Blog Talk to get the show back on the road, I looked back on the archives over the last 9 months just to kind of see, you know, were we getting any action. And I was flabbergasted by the number of shows that had been listened to, all archived. So this was either someone listening on their computer or someone downloading us, because we are on iTunes. Just look for the Madden Voice and you can download us on your iPod or iPad or iPhone. 20,000 episodes of the Madden Voice were listened to over the last 9 months. 20,000. I was speechless when I saw that. 9 months ago, Blog Talk Radio didn't even have that feature where you could really get that level of detail. They had something, but not to the detail. Now they break it down to what episode, how many per month, and in the last 9 months, a little over 20,000 episodes. That's 82 episodes that we have archived, and so you do the math, over 20,000 times someone listened to an episode of the Madden Voice. I mean, you know, so everybody that supports the show, that asks us to come back, thank you. We appreciate it. And, you know, we're back. We're going to be here through football season. And let's segue right into football talk, which is, you know, always an exciting thing to do. When Madden comes out, you also know that the NFL season is here. And we're going to do, a lot of Madden tonight because it's our first show back and we had to catch up. But as the game kind of stabilizes itself and there will be some news, but it won't be as much as this first show, we will be doing more and more NFL talk. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about preseason. I mean, a lot went on. We had the whole CBA and the lockout and were we going to have football and was there going to be a deal? And then finally at the 11th hour, they put a deal together, got rid of the Hall of Fame game, gave us four preseason games. And now we sit here 2 days away, less than 48 hours from kickoff, you know. And,
yeah,
and,
buddy.
And 90 days ago, we didn't know what we were going to have, and now less than 48 hours, we will have a kickoff and a very exciting season. And so many things went on in this NFL season. First question I have for let me start with Train, my co-host. Train, you know, did the preseason teach us anything? Did these preseason games give us any indication of what we might see when the actual season begins?
Ooh, man, that is always a tough question to answer because people can really read too much into preseason. So a lot of times for me, what I look at the preseason is, you know, can your first team sustain a drive? Can your first defense make the other team go 3 and out? And that's as far as I leave it. You know, and then when I look at the rest of the quarters, you know, I just look at the depth of the team. You know what I'm saying? It definitely doesn't matter about win and losses, but does your team have depth by the end of preseason? That's kind of what you're looking for when you're watching the second, third, and the fourth quarter. You know, and I really don't even look at the last preseason game because those people are just trying to earn jobs. So. Yeah, so that's always a tough question to answer because you really don't want to read a whole lot into preseason. You know, you just want to kind of get a gist of what your team may and may not be capable of because coaches don't, you know, they don't show their hand. You know, a lot of coaches do not show their hand in preseason.
Sure. You know, when you look at the preseason schedule or records, I should say, you know, two teams went 4-0. And there is a statistic, and I didn't get it in time for the show. I'd be interested to find it, but I didn't have time. But there is a statistic on how many teams that go undefeated in the preseason actually make the playoffs. And my recollection is it's a pretty high number. So there is some correlation between going 4-0 and whether you make the playoffs, and there is also a correlation between those teams that go 0-4. And I think there's the same correlation. If you go 0-4 in a preseason, a lot of those teams don't make the playoffs. But the teams that are 1-3, 2-2, and 3-1, from my recollection of the analysis, it doesn't really matter. But the two teams are the Detroit Lions and the St. Louis Rams. And these are two teams. I mean, the Rams had been mediocre at best. Now, the Lions had been on a kind of a resurge a bit. And so they actually went 4-0 in the preseason. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you can look at preseason and say, you know, look out for Detroit, or if you could say, well, you know, Eagles went 3-1, you know, Ravens and the Steelers both went 3-1, you know, I don't know. I mean, K-Star, what do you think? You think the preseason teaches us anything?
I think it teaches about individual players. Like, I mean, for example, I think going to this year, I don't know if you guys are watching the Steelers games, but there's a certain guy named Antonio Brown who has lights out speed. He completely torched the Eagles and the Falcons against, you know, the starters. I think there's certain players that kind of like emerge a little bit in preseason. So obviously they're on their job or whatever. That's what preseason is about. But I mean, you find some gems in there that you really didn't know about. So I think there'll be a lot of guys that are going to be pretty relevant this year that are relevant in preseason. I don't think preseason as a whole you can really take, you know, too much solace from. I mean, the Colts pretty much annually go 0-4 in the preseason. We know how that usually goes. But, yeah, there's definitely something you can take from preseason. The third game by far and away is most important, though. That's the most telling game. People actually game plan, you know, for that game. So
right.
A little bit, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I also think everyone should know that we have two Chicago Bear fans on this phone call. So, you know.
We know why. We know why.
We have two. Yeah, I mean,
why?
We have a guy nicknamed Stop the Train after the A Train, and then a guy nicknamed Urlacher. So, I mean, we got two Bears fans on this call. So, just so everybody understands as we get into this, you start hearing a lot of pro Bear stuff. We've got two Bear fans on this phone call. I think it is interesting as we look at the league now. You know, we have Randy Moss sitting on the sidelines, Terrell Owens sitting on the sidelines, Tiki Barber tried to make a comeback, and other than a workout with Miami, nobody had any interest. And these are arguably – these are three guys that may very well – I mean, I think it's – I think with Moss and T.O., it's almost a given they're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe not first ballot because of, you know, perception, but if you look at their numbers, it's Hall of Fame numbers. Tiki Barber, another guy, Hall of Fame numbers. Retired a little young, but, you know, these are three potential Hall of Famers. All young enough to still play this game, and none of them with a team. What's up with that? Train, what's going on with the NFL? These three guys sitting on the sidelines.
Well, the main thing is drama. Teams, you know, teams don't want the baggage that comes with having Randy Moss, having T.O., and quite frankly, it comes with the baggage of having Tiki. Tiki left his team on a bad note. And plus he plays running back. Running backs are almost a dime a dozen. You know, so that's, you know, and that's almost the same case with wide receivers. True, and true, those players have, you know, unique talent. But it's unique talent versus baggage. I think the only team Randy Moss will go to is the Patriots if he were to come back.
Yeah, there's a report today saying that there's one team you go back to and not retire and come back out of retirement for New England. Tom Brady said he would. They'll love that for that to happen, but you know how Belichick rolls, so why not? But yeah.
Exactly. T.O. is a man for hire year by year. You know what I'm saying? He's a contractor by year. So if you need somebody that's gonna slide in there and not say anything, yeah. But no one wanna keep him past a year. You know.
Yeah, I think T.O. certainly has to look back on his time in Dallas. And has to say that after his rocky time in San Francisco, his rocky time in Philly, and then he ended up in Dallas, you know, with a potential, you know, a Super Bowl caliber team, you know, a very good football team, and a chance to, you know, right the ship. And then he ends up – he didn't really have the same drama he had in Philly and San Francisco, but he certainly was still the outspoken in the press conferences and the interviews, and there still was a lot of people saying that he, you know, how many balls do you have on the field because he's not getting enough. And, you know, the interviews or the post-game press conferences where he would say, I run the plays that are called. You know, it was always the I'm just doing what I'm told, but never coming out and supporting the team or supporting the scheme. And enough of that where Jerry Jones took, you know, about $9 million out of his pocket and said, I'll let you go. And ever since then, this guy has not, he hasn't had a home. You know, he has not had a home. And now, you know, he has an injury last year and, he, you know, and he's 37 years old, you know. And we all know that as far as physically, that guy is gifted. You know, he if anybody can come back and play this year after the injury he had, it's him. But I got to tell you, I don't know that he's going to be on the field this year. You know,
I'll interject to say I doubt it. If T.O. hadn't suffered that injury, he may have been picked up by somebody. But because of that injury plus the age, it's very doubtful you'll see him for anyone to. Unless somebody suffered a major hit at wide receiver.
Right. You know, and I think, you know, with Tiki Barber, I think there was an arrogance with him that, unfortunately, there was no way anybody was going to play with him. I mean, he went into the announcer's booth, went to the sideline, and kind of forgot where he came from. And, you know, the NFL is a family. And when he left and then tried to act like, you know, called out Strahan and called out all these guys, now you try to come back and play the game. So you left at the prime of your career, you know, a la Jim Brown, and now you come back 5 years later thinking, oh, somebody will take me. I mean, you know, they said, no, we don't need you. You know, we've been fine without you for this long. We don't need you. And it's unfortunate for him. But, you know, there's a lesson to be learned there. You know, only a certain small percentage of this population ever get to play pro football. And you get that opportunity, man, you have to embrace it for as long as you have it for, you know. And when you make a decision to leave the game, don't do the Brett Favre on it. Just leave the game, you know. Just leave,
right?
You know.
Right.
Personally, I believe Randy Moss is going to get picked up by somebody.
You
T.O.
think so?
Is going to retire. And since Tiki Barber can fumble toilet paper 3 times before he can reach around and wipe his ass, he ain't going to get signed by anybody.
Randy Moss is not getting picked up by anybody. He's already
Randy Moss doesn't want to get picked up. He just doesn't want
to. Yeah, he's already retired.
He wants to play Patriots, so that's it. You know, it is what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
He'll be there.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the thing about the NFL is you never say never, because we're at the beginning of the season. It's a long, tough season with these guys, and all it takes is a top receiver from a team to get a high ankle sprain or a torn ACL or something and to be out. And the next thing you know, here comes Randy Moss or here comes Terrell Owens. So I don't think Tiki's going to be playing, because there was just no interest in him. And the rosters, as you guys probably know, went up to 90 players. You know, so teams had a chance to bring him on their rosters without necessarily jeopardizing a spot for a younger guy to take a closer look, and nobody did it. So I think Tiki's done. But I think there is still a chance. You know, we know that Randy Moss can still play, 34, 35 years old. He can still run a 4.25, 40. And T.O. at 37 is still, you know, in excellent shape. He's a great healer. And, you know, the right situation comes, and if these guys aren't trying to make $10 million in 1 year, we may see them back in the NFL this year.
I would trade Roy Williams for him.
What's going on with your Bears, man? Why is the Bears trying to be Dallas Cowboys North,
That's
man? Sam Hurd, Marion Barber, Roy
players,
Williams,
man.
What's going on, man?
Sam Hurd.
Man, y'all really? Taking all our rejects, man. Got to figure this one out.
Roy Williams,
man.
For real, Roy Williams? Come on, man. T.O.'s right there, and you can pick up Roy Williams. Come on, man.
Chicago.
Dropped
Chicago's
every pass in preseason.
Exactly. 800 series.
He might not even start.
You
picking up Reed.
Jay Cutler's arm is too strong for Roy Williams, man.
Yeah, it is.
He might not even start now, from what I heard. Johnny Knox might beat him out or whatever. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Johnny Knox is looking way better than Roy Williams right now.
That's horrible.
I think
Johnny Knox is looking better than you. That's the rough spot to be in.
The issue for Chicago is Jerry Angelo can't draft. So
yeah, that's true.
To cover up for his issue of not being able to draft, he goes picks up the baggage that's been dropped from other teams. I mean, you got to look at everybody we gathered this offseason. Brandon Merriweather, Roy Williams, Sam Hurd, Marion Barber, Moby Okoye.
All these people might as well call us the Chicago Cowboys.
Yeah, might as well. Hey, question for you guys, and I think I know what the answer is going to be, but, you know, I'm wondering, as we look around, you know, the NFC East for a long time was called the toughest division in football. And over the last couple of years, a couple of other divisions have really stepped up with competition. You know, and I'll start with you, Train. And I realize this may be a loaded question, but what do you think the toughest division in all of football is right now?
I'm gonna be biased on this one, and I really can't help it because finally, the weakest team in our division has kind of woke up a bit. So I'm gonna have to say the NFC North. NFC North is one of the scariest divisions because you honestly don't know what each of those teams. There's an expectation from Green Bay, but you don't know what Chicago is capable of. Everybody knows Chicago has defense, but what happens if Chicago offense starts to, you know? Everybody knows Detroit's got Dominique Sue, and he's leading that defense. But what happens if Matthew Stafford is able to play 16 games? You know, what kind of Detroit will we see then? Then you have Minnesota. Everybody knows what Adrian Peterson can do, but now they actually got a quarterback since Brett Favre that may be able to handle their offense. You know, and they got Frazier as head coach who's leading that team. So you have a lot of unknown with the NFC North, and that kind of makes them a scary division to face week in and week out.
Okay. K-Star, what do you think?
Maybe the NFC South. I would probably say the toughest division. NFC North, very, very tough. It's getting better. You know, AFC East and AFC North are pretty top heavy. There's really just two really, really, you know, pretty much two Super Bowl contenders in each division. I'll probably say NFC South just because, you know, the Buccaneers are a young, up-and-coming team. The Saints, you know, won Super Bowl 2 years ago. And, Atlanta Falcons had the best, you know, record in all the NFL last year, or all the NFC last year. So there's no cakewalk in NFC really. It's kind of funny because NFC just sucked for a long time, but now they're kind of loaded.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even gonna ask you earlier.
The NFC East, even. No one said NFC East. I'm thinking of the NFC East is still the toughest. I don't know. I forgot about it for a second. That's my fault.
Well, I'll tell you,
took the words right out of my mouth, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say I figured you agree with him. You know, and I got to tell you, you know, historically, I'd be the first one to say the NFC East, and I still think it's certainly arguable that the NFC East is a tough. Those guys beat up on each other, and in any given game, any one of those teams can beat each other. You know, historically at least. But I got to tell you, looking at it this year, I think I'm with Train and Urlacher. I really think the NFC North is going to be the toughest division. I think all four of those teams could make the playoffs. They're not all going to make the playoffs, but I think they all could. I think Detroit has so improved that, you know, I think it's scary now what could happen in that division. And it's almost to, you know, as we found it, you know, and I'll say this to these two Bear fans, this became a problem in the NFC East because you had teams in the past like the Giants and other teams with 10-6 records not making the playoffs because they were getting beat up by their division opponents. And so I think we're going to see that in the NFC North. I think we're going to see, you know, teams that are good, solid teams, but because they're in that division, they're going to have 9-7, 10-6 records, and they're not going to be in the playoffs. It's just not going to happen. But, you know,
I'm
another,
actually really worried about the Lions this year.
I think you should be. they look,
I would be.
But let me ask.
I had the Bears offensive line, Washington play against Sue and Cal Vandenbosch. No way. That's horrible. That's a horrible matchup for you guys.
That's our weakest link right there.
Yeah, that's their biggest strength. So that's gonna be rough.
But let me ask the two Bears fans this question: do you think the Packers? This is a team for those of you out there listening. And again, feel free, anybody want to call and jump into the conversation. We've got 50 minutes of airtime left, 347-838-9525. If you just want to shoot a comment, go ahead and hit me up at Twitter, The Madden Voice, with your comments or questions. But do you think the Packers, and this is a team that won the Super Bowl last year, 16 starters on injured reserve. Now, we can debate the quality of what starter, and all, but there were 16 starters that ended up going on injured reserve, and this team won the Super Bowl. And yet, when we talk about the NFL, if you listen to the NFL Network, if you listen to ESPN or Fox Sports, you're not hearing the Packers. You're hearing the Eagles. You're hearing the Patriots. You're hearing, you know, different teams. But you're not hearing the Packers. Are they under the radar this year? Are they, you know, being the Super Bowl champs, have they been forgotten about? What do you guys think, you NFC North fans there? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that you can go first. Hey, Train, go first.
First, let me touch on this. There's a big misconception with the whole 16 starters being on injured reserve. I really want people to understand those are 16 people who Green Bay felt should start for their team. There's no telling how well or how bad those 16 players will play, but that's merely debatable. What that means is that the team has depth, but people really need to be careful with how they judge the Packers. To me, they are still the best team right now in the NFC. Period, on top of everybody. They just won it all. They just won it all with injuries. Forget exactly who was injured, but just with injuries, they won it all. They got into the playoffs. When the games counted, they won them. And that's what's most important. So I would be very careful to misjudge the Packers and their capability to do it this season. I don't think they're gonna have this great 13-3 and 12-4 record, but they will be a playoff team.
Okay, Urlacher.
Well, with the return of that tight end, who I feel is one of the best tight ends in the league, and plus with Grant coming back with Starks together, that offense is going to be incredible. I mean, they can't do nothing against the Bears defense. We all know that, but they probably are going to finish in first place, and they are going to go deep into the playoffs. I don't care what anybody says.
Packers are still the best. I'm not sure what the analysts are saying. They got a strong offensive line. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in NFC right now. The receiving core is like 4 or 5 deep. They got Ryan Grant back. James Starks shows he can run the ball. And their defense, everyone's back. I don't see how they're not easily the favorites for the whole year, really.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the team that's got more attention in the off season than I think maybe any team. And this was a shortened off season, but I think this team got more attention in the off season than maybe any team in NFL history, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, the self-proclaimed dream team, if you will, the team that most people say had the best free agency acquisitions in the off season, and a lot of people are saying that's their NFC pick. You know, they just made Michael Vick, you know, a millionaire, a multimillionaire, $100 million contract with $40 million guaranteed.
Figure millionaire.
Yeah, I mean, they locked him down. He's going to be an Eagle till he retires. $100 million, $40 million guaranteed. No one saw this coming. And, you know, I mean, here's a guy who comes out of jail, and you got Donovan McNabb and Kevin Cobb as the starter and the backup. McNabb says, I want Vic on this team. He'd be a good member of this team. And 2 years later, McNabb is barely holding on to a starting job now on his second job after Philly with Minnesota. Cobb is out there in Arizona. Actually, he might do well out there. We'll see. But now he's a starter. It's his team, and they just gave him $100 million. But is this the dream team? Is this a team that we'd be saying, you know, get your DVRs ready. They have this is an NFC All-Star team on one team, and look out. What do you guys think?
They're going to be just like the Miami Heat and make it nowhere.
let me interject on this one. Barry, I've been waiting on this one. Okay, first of all, of course, everybody knows the word dream team came from the backup quarterback who we don't even know is ready for game one due to the injury that he caught in preseason. But there's one thing. The Eagles, if they didn't learn from the Redskins, is that you cannot buy a championship, not in football. It does not work that way. Your team has to have chemistry and continuity. And right now, the Eagles, if they have any continuity, it'll be on the offense, but it's definitely not on the defense. Those guys haven't played together. You know, and on top of that, they hired a guy to be their defensive coordinator that has never called a defensive play in the NFL.
Wasn't he the offensive line coach last year, or the offensive?
Yeah, he was offensive. Yeah, exactly.
That's
offensive
crazy.
Line coach to call defense, really, against people like Mike Martz and other offensive gurus who naturally can break down a defense in a game. This is the guy you're choosing to call your defense against all these teams that can air the ball out in the NFC.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
The Eagles, the biggest concern for them, I mean, aside from being able to stop the run because their safeties are very weak and they got, like, rookie linebackers all up in there, the biggest concern to me, and with Michael Vick especially, is that offensive line. It's really bad. Like, it's, like, almost as bad as the Steelers' offensive line pass protection. It's rough. So I think that's by far and away their biggest hurdle this whole year is trying to, you know, figure out how that's going to work and just being able to execute that offense, because it's a timing offense. Like, big, like, to go deep, and that offensive line was pretty horrible in preseason, so they got to shore up on that, like, right now. They're going to be doing something right now with it.
Well, you know, and being that, I'm an NFC East guy, I will say this. I think that the Eagles will be a good team. I think that they'll win the division, to be honest with you. I'm certainly going to root for my Cowboys because that's what I do. But if I had to pick, if taking my bias aside and I were to pick who would win that division, I'd say the Eagles would be the odds-on favorite. You know, I would guess maybe 12-4 for the Eagles. I think the Cowboys will be right behind them, like a game behind them, maybe 11-5 or 10-6. Both teams making.
Believe the Cowboys.
I think the Giants are their biggest hurdle. I think they're bigger hurdle than the Cowboys by far, because they can run the ball really good, and that's the Eagles'
The Giants have a problem, and his name is Eli Manning, and Eli Manning is, I'm sorry, he's a Manning, but he's not Peyton. The reason they won a Super Bowl is because they had an incredible defense. Incredible defense.
That was very good.
That's why.
Eli made a lot of plays. I'm not like an Eli supporter, but you got to get on props. He played very well that playoffs.
He really didn't. The defense, I watched every game. I watched that whole run. It was an incredible run, and it was their pressure, that defensive pressure that beat the Cowboys. That's what it was. It was that defensive pressure. It really was.
Yeah, Eli didn't fold, though. He fell big multiple times that playoff run. He wasn't the reason why they got there. Don't get me wrong. It was definitely that defense piece like Nola running that show. But if he cuts down the turnovers, of course, it's a big if with Eli. They led the league in turnovers. They had like 50-something last year. And they were still, 10-6? If they cut it down just a little bit, they're going to be in the hunt for that division title. I think they're really good.
Well, so, I think earlier I was clear to say the NFC is a tough the NFC East is a tough division. And there's absolutely no doubt about it. But I think that right now I'd pick the Eagles to win. The reason that I'd pick the Cowboys, not because they're my team, but because, you know, two people, Jason Garrett and Rex Ryan. Those two reasons, I think we see the Cowboys go back to how they were 2 years ago. When, you know, they were back in the playoffs, they did win the division. I think they're going to be back to that level. Jason Garrett is going to be an incredible head coach. He's got all the tutelage you would want, and he's a very smart person. And I'd like to see him coach in Dallas for 20 years, you know. And I think, you know, Ryan, the Ryan name is what it is, and I think that, you know, considering where the Cowboys' defense was last year, You can't play any worse than that defense did last year. You can't.
Yeah, that was bad.
So I think, but it's going to take a little time because the schemes that he's bringing in are Red Sox 14-0. Wow. The schemes that he's bringing in are brand new. They're complicated, and it's going to take some time. And I think, you know, the first couple of weeks, I think a lot of Cowboy fans are going to be nervous because the defense is not going to play like a Ryan defense, but give it time. And I think we're going to see.
I would like to say the one thing I think about the Cowboys, I think if anything this year, you're going to see them play with a much different attitude than they did last year. There's going to be a sense of urgency from week one. You know, because they wasn't talked about last year like they were talked about this year. You know, last year it was like, oh, the Super Bowl is going to be in Dallas. And, you know, Dallas got a good chance to go to the Super Bowl and be playing at home. You know, they wasn't mentioned that much in the preseason this year. So I think they're going to be playing with a lot more attitude because of the head coach and because of Rex Ryan. So you're going to definitely see a different team play with a sense of urgency.
Cowboys will win that division, mark my words.
Hey, I certainly don't have any problem with that prediction. And I think
hit me
we play
up at the end of the season. You'll see.
Hey, I don't have a problem with it. I won't be upset about it if we do. But I do think the Eagles will. They will. You know, I think what you said earlier is exactly, you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, chemistry, being able to work together, it takes time. I think Andy Reid is a great coach. I think this is probably going to be his last hurrah. I think he packs it up and either retires altogether or moves on and takes on a new challenge. And so I think he's going to do everything he can to get these guys, the Eagles, together. But my problem with the Eagles is Mike Vick, in my opinion, has always been overrated. I think he's a great athlete. I've never considered him a great quarterback. I considered him a good quarterback. But, you know, the first half of last year, he was the next coming of Tom Brady. And then people, if you watch the last several games, people started adjusting. And he wasn't able to scramble as much as he did before. And,
people were sending heat at him. Corner blitzes, off the edge. They were forcing him to step in the pocket. That offensive line was very weak. He couldn't really do it. And he didn't get the ball out of his hands quick enough, to be honest. He wasn't really making the right reads. So,
yeah,
any
quarterback can be facing somebody like Urlacher.
Well, and his decision-making to me was poor because, you know, he's not 27 anymore. So, you know, he's fast and he's agile. And, yeah, he didn't play for a couple of years, but, you know, these defenses are faster now than they were when he left the league. These defenses are fast.
They are.
These linebackers and these safeties and these cornerbacks are fast. And
Julius Peppers.
These guys, right. I mean, these guys, Julius Peppers and DeMarcus Ware and all these guys will catch you. They'll get that angle on you. And if they get an angle on you, they're going to get you. And so he can't do – I mean, he did it the first part of last year because he was new again. It was like, okay, we haven't seen this in a while. But once these guys schemed, once these defensive coordinators, they got some video, they got some footage, they went into the lab, as you know, as we call it in Madden. Well, that's what, you know, they went into their labs, and they said, okay, that's okay. We got something for him. In the second half of the year, he wasn't quite the same. So I think the Eagles are going to be a good team. I think they're going to – right now I give them the nod to win the division because the Cowboys are going to need a few weeks to really get going. So I'd give the Eagles a slim nod to win the division. But I really think that when we get down to playoff time, they will have been figured out, and I don't think they're going to have an answer. My opinion.
Here's my rebuff on that. Here's my rebuff on that. Because my jury is kind of still out on Vic. The one thing we did see last year, and you have to admit that you did see, you saw a maturity from the Vic that was in Atlanta versus the Vic that you have now. All right, you saw him. True enough, I'm not saying he made the best decision every time, but he made better decisions with the ball last year than he did when he first came in the league and was playing with Atlanta and was rushing out of the pocket every single chance he got. So the interesting thing this year would be, can he make better decisions? Can he take that next step to be an Eli quarterback where he's making the type of decisions that you see made by Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers to get rid of the ball and get it to his playmakers instead of trying to do it himself? So that's,
well, let me just say this: you do know he got injured last year and he was out. Do you remember the play that he got injured on?
No, not precisely.
He scrambled, went into the end zone, and scored, and got hit in the ribs as he was going into the end zone. He scored, but he got nailed in the ribs.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
You know, damage to it, and he was out. I think he missed two games. So, yeah, on one level, we saw some, especially earlier in the season, better decision-making. He sat in the pocket a little bit longer. He let the play develop, and he hit his receivers. But I saw him revert back to the Vic we knew later in the season. And that play is a pure example of it. And I think we're going to see the same thing. You know, it's you know, these guys have been playing this sport, you know, and for us who are not professional athletes, we probably can't relate. But you think about having done the same thing for 25 years. These guys have been playing since peewee midget football. And some of the habits, Vic has always been fast and always been a runner. So he's always going to instinctively want to tuck it away and run because that's what he's always done. And when he gets into trouble, you know, that's what's going to happen. And I think that's going to be the detriment and the downfall because Donovan, on the other hand, would run, but he would run when he had to run. You know, he would run, you know, okay, now I got to get out of here. You know, it's getting ugly. All right, I'm out, you know, where I just, you know, hey, like I said, it's my opinion. I think that's what we're going to see. On another note, we're talking about quarterbacks. You know, we have a quarterback in the NFL that's played 208 straight games. For my money, he's the best quarterback in the NFL, for me. No disrespect to Tom Brady, who's got more rings, but my money. Well, it may be, but my money, if I had to start a franchise, I'd want a Peyton Manning. Like, that's who I would look for. And now it is looking more and more like he's not going to play Sunday. What do you guys think? 208 games. The streak means a lot to him. He's the ultra professional, loves to play, ultra competitive. Will Peyton Manning suit up on Sunday?
Yes, he will.
Nope.
There's no way he's going to let that happen.
I live in Indianapolis. Nope. It's just all doomsday here right now. No one believes he's going to play. The reports here in Indianapolis are saying there's just no possible chance. He's not even allowed to practice right now. He's not going to be able to deal cleared by the doctors. It's just not going to happen. Honestly, I really don't like the Colts, but I think it's pretty sad. Just because, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, yeah, I hate him or whatever because he knows the rival or whatever, but it's the same, like, you want to watch him play. Like, it's amazing watching him play. Like, he's just such, he's like a Madden player out there, like, just how how good he is, like with his running his offense. Like, it's just, it's going to be sad. Hopefully he can be back relatively soon just for competition's sake. But he's definitely not going to play week one, and that's sad.
Yeah, well, I forgot, K-Star. You're right there. So, I mean, you know, you actually, I mean, we're getting it from ESPN and all that, but you're actually getting the local inside scoop.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he's not flying. There's no way I can definitely confirm that. It's not going on.
Man, he's not going to play week one. He might be doubtful for week two, but when he does come back, the Colts have a rocky start. They finish 11-5 and win their division. End of story.
Do you think? Do you think Brett Favre is available to go in anyway? God, I couldn't resist. Hey, shout out. Let me give a shout out to my old nemesis, but a guy considered to be a Madden friend, a grand champion. He's another guy who I guess has been trying to reach me, and I got a couple calls from last week. We have not been able to connect, but if he does tune in, if you're listening, Grant, I know you're working right now, so if you got the Madden voice on, we are going to connect up soon. I hope things are well with you and the Lex and your group over there, and let's definitely connect up and catch up. It's been a long time, and this is a guy who, man, me and this guy, we were just like rivals, man. League's going at it, Madden show's going at it, you know, commissioner's going at it, but you know, when you have that kind of rivalry with somebody, I think you develop a bond, you develop like a mutual respect. And I have a lot of respect for that guy and what he's done for the community and what he's done for Madden. And I'm not too up to date on what's going on with the Lex and all of that. But if history is my guide, I'm sure the Lex is still running strong, and I'm sure he's still doing great things over there. So, Grand, shout out to you, my brother, and I look forward to talking to you real, real soon. But back to NFL talk. So we got week one coming up. And I would be remiss, and I'll probably touch a little bit more on it before we sign off. But we have the anniversary of 9/11. So our first Sunday is actually going to be on 9/11, even though we have kickoff Thursday night. And there's a lot of competitive games this weekend. You know, and as I look at the schedule, I do have the schedule up in front of me. You know, some of the games, just in case you guys don't have it in front of you, Thursday night is certainly New Orleans is going down or going up to Lambeau to play Green Bay, but it's still early, so there's no weather advantage for Green Bay for this game, but that's going to be competitive. Atlanta goes to Chicago. The Colts, probably without Peyton Manning, to Houston, another competitive game. You know, Tennessee just released David Garrard today. They're going with Colt McCoy or Luke McCown or one of those guys. Yeah. And they're going to Jacksonville. We've got the Pittsburgh, K-Star's team, the Steelers, Baltimore. A game that might surprisingly be pretty good, Detroit at Tampa Bay. Minnesota. That's going to be a good game. Minnesota with Donovan McNabb starting his first regular season game with the Vikings, going to take on Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. What also promises to be a very, very emotional game, as if you think back to 9/11, Washington and New York were both attacked 10 years ago, and I think the NFL did this one right. I think they did this on purpose, and I think it was a good call. You have the Giants traveling to Washington to play the Redskins on a nationally televised game. You have the Panthers and Cam Newton making a start against Kevin Cobb and the Cardinals. And Sunday night, another huge, huge game. The Cowboys go into hostile territory on 9/11, nationally televised game on NBC. The Ryan brothers compete again, and they go to play the Jets in New York. You know, again, the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And then, you know, Monday night, doing a doubleheader, And, I think both these games might be pretty good. New England's going to Miami, and don't sleep on the Dolphins. And Oakland, you never know what you get with the Raiders. They go and they pick up, you know, every loose free agent out there. They got Terrell Pryor now, and who knows, and they're going to play Denver. So, we've got probably three-quarters of these games could go either way. They're very competitive, very, very tough games. And even the ones that are clear-cut, we think we know who's going to win, you really just don't know. I think that's how the NFL works. With all of that said, either guys tell me, and let's start with Train, either maybe the game you're looking forward to the most, or the game you think will be the most talked about. What's the game? When we come back on the show next Tuesday, what's the game we're going to talk about as, wow, this was the game of the week?
Ooh, man, I got this guess one in front of me myself. Game I'm looking forward to, you already know, Atlanta to Chicago, but I don't doubt that'd be the most talked about game. I will honestly say New Orleans and Green Bay would probably be the most talked about game. As much as Pittsburgh and Baltimore is definitely a big rival, division rival game, but I think when you talk about two teams possibly going to the Super Bowl this year, coming out of the NFC, New Orleans and Green Bay will probably be the most talked about game. I mean, it's high-powered offenses, against mediocre to good defenses. So,
okay. Erlach, are you still with us?
Yep.
What do you think?
I believe it's going to be New Orleans and Green Bay, too, because Drew Brees versus Aaron Rodgers, two high-powered offenses. I think that game is going to be unbelievable. And I'm rooting for the Saints. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same here.
K-Star.
I like to be all around to go with Steelers, Ravens. They're always the big rival. They're the biggest rivalry in the NFL. It's really not even a question. As far as the competitiveness between the two, and honestly, it is a bloodbath whenever those two play. Actually, I think that Philly and St. Louis would be very interesting because that's decent to know over there. And that defense is pretty good in preseason. So I think they're going to get after Michael Vick a lot. They actually might be – I wouldn't be surprised if they upset him, to be honest with you. Beginning of the year, offensive line really hasn't gelled yet. I think C.J. McNeil and Rams will attack him. And I think we really talked about.
Okay. I think the Saints-Packers game is certainly a great way to start the season. But the problem is it's a Thursday game. By Sunday, it's forgotten about, to be honest with you. So I don't think that's going to be the most talked about game because you're going to have 2 days. That's all you're going to hear about is that game. So by Sunday, that's it. There's nothing more to talk about. I think because of 9/11, there's two games that are going to be the featured games that we're going to hear about all day on Monday. And that's the Giants and the Redskins, and that's the Cowboys and the Saints. The Cowboys and the Jets. I think those two games are going to be all you hear about because of the occasion of 9/11. And of those two games, to be honest, I think the Cowboy-Jet game, although, the division games are always great matchups, Steelers and the Ravens and, Bengals and the Browns and, the Titans and the Jags. And division games, are always – As I look, we have quite a few division games. But that said, I think that the Giants and Redskins, I think the Cowboys and Jets game, because then you have the extra dimension of the Ryan brothers playing each other, and both of those guys are big personalities. It's not that you have. Two brothers playing each other that, hold on a second here, let me mute out the background noise. It's not that you have two brothers playing each other that, it's like, who cares? It's not like back when Tiki and Rondé played, who cares? I mean, these are two big-time personalities, and I honestly, and this is really not me speaking as a homer, I honestly think the Jets and the Cowboys are going to be the game of the week. I think that it's going to be a good
game. That's going to be a great game, I think.
I really do. I think it's gonna be a great game. You got Jason Garrett in his first game as the full time head coach. He was an interim last year. You've got the Ryan brothers. You've got New York. You've got Rex. You know, and all the stuff he likes to say, and Rob, stuff he likes to say. You've got 9/11. You know, and I just think that's gonna be the game that people are gonna talk about. And and to me, it doesn't matter. You know, whether the Cowboys blow out the Jets blow out the Cowboys, or it's 21-20 in overtime, the outcome doesn't matter. It's going to be talked about. I think the NFL, you know, when they did the schedule, they really, you know, I think the selection of games and who plays who to start this season off, and what games are going to be on TV and what games are going to be nationally televised. You know, I think they did a really good job with that, you know, and that would be my pick.
But due to your argument, you don't sound so much like a homer, but yeah. Yeah, you may be right.
No, I mean I think, you know, I honestly have been saying to people that know me, I have a hard time rooting for the Cowboys for the first time in my life because, and maybe we can take a few minutes, you know, on this now, or I'll wrap up with this, you know, as we got about 20 minutes left. But, you know, 9/11, 2001, was a huge story and changed the course of this country forever. And the fact that we are now celebrating 10 years of that, and we're celebrating it, with pro football, is huge. And, you know, it's kind of like Katrina and the whole thing with the Saints and Katrina. You found everybody rooting for the Saints because of what happened in New Orleans and Katrina. And I think in some respects on Sunday, you know, you're going to find people pulling for New York and pulling for Washington because of the things that went on with 9/11. And instinctively, I'd like to pull for New York. I'd like to say, man, I'd love to see on this day New York stand up and do something good in football land. Unfortunately, I'm a Cowboy fan, so I can't. But that emotion is going to run wild, and I think we're going to, you'll see. You'll see when you watch the game. You guys will see what I'm talking
about. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way you do.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. All right. Last topic, and this one came up earlier today. Train and I were kind of prepping for the show, and I really liked the topic. Matter of fact, Train, why don't you introduce it, because it was your topic, and I think it's a good way to close off the NFL segment.
Talk about a couple. I guess we talk about the contract negotiations.
The debate.
Some background noise in there. I couldn't understand what you said.
The debate that you witnessed with Deion Sanders.
Oh yeah, So I was telling T earlier. I caught it watching one of the clips online, and there where they were trying to determine, you know, the debate of who's the most important player in the NFL. They didn't say to me. They said in the entire NFL, who was the most important player to their team, and it came down, you know. It came down, they considered, you know, Peyton Manning really to be the most important player to his team. And, of course, Deion Sanders mentioned a whole bunch of other names, Tom Brady. Troy Polamalu, Ray Lewis, and quite a few other guys. But when you think about a team that if they were missing their best guy, their main guy, how detrimental it would be to their team. True enough, the Steelers did miss Polamalu, and their defense is not as great as Polamalu, but they can win games without him. But I honestly don't think the Colts can really win games and be as dominant or even be as scary an offense without Peyton Manning. And people know this, Peyton Manning takes the whole clock in order to get his offense right before he snaps the ball and you have a 20-yard completion, no matter what that defense looked like. So that was one of the most interesting arguments that I saw. It's just funny with DeAndre Buff, but I would definitely consider Peyton Manning to be the most important player in the league, especially to his team.
We'll see. Peyton Manning's great. Don't get me wrong. And obviously, we don't know that, though. Like, obviously, you would assume, you know, Peyton Manning being four-time MVP, the Colts face of the franchise. They have a lot of great football players on that team. They still have Reggie Wayne. They still have Dallas Clark. They still have probably the greatest pass rusher I've seen in my time, Dwight Freeney, you know, Robert Mathis. They have a lot of ball players. Peyton Manning's great. As a Steelers fan, I want to say it's Troy Polamalu because I've seen our defense without him. We actually have a losing record without Troy. Our defense was bottom of the barrel a couple years ago when he was on the Madden cover. Obviously, he missed a season for being on that. But Peyton Manning, definitely up there. I think we'll see it. I wonder how they're going to play without Peyton. Like I said, they still have a lot of weapons at skill positions. But, Peyton, it has to be Peyton. It has to be, I think, Troy. It has to be. I want to say Brady, but they kind of did really well without Brady. But they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs, though, so it's kind of like, I think Reeves was very important. I could imagine the Jets defense without him.
Without who? Revis?
Revis. Yeah, I could imagine the Jets defense without Revis.
Nah.
Can you imagine the Packers without Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, actually, I only sent Brett Favre. Matt Flynn played great against the Packers or Patriots last year without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. They wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without him.
You know, it's,
I mean, yeah.
It's an interesting question. It's an interesting debate. You know, as I said to Train earlier, we did see the Patriots without Tom Brady, but and Matt Castle, you know, I mean, was it the Patriots were just that good that Matt Castle could step in and still take them to the playoffs? Was it that Matt Castle was the unknown, kind of like Michael Vick the first half of last year? We don't really know what we're getting because he's not with the Falcons. He's with the Eagles. He's coming off the bench, and we don't know. I mean, you know, you got to ask yourself, when a guy gets hurt and someone comes in and is successful, why is it? It doesn't necessarily mean a team doesn't need him or the team can survive without him, because I truly think that in the NFL today, you know, there's about a dozen quarterbacks that are not replaceable. You know, and you know, I would throw Brady and Manning, of course, in there, along with, you know, Romo and Breeze and Rivers and, you know, the top-tier quarterbacks, Roethlisberger. You know, these guys, you take these guys out of their team, and those teams, you know, they're not going to do that well.
It looks a lot different, we'll put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So I don't know that there's one person that we can say, you know, take them off the team and, oh, my God. But if there was one, I do think that you got to kind of say today Manning and Brady got to be up there, because right now I don't even know Tom Brady's backup.
Me neither.
You know, and that's got to tell
Brian
you something.
Brian Gallant or something, or someone like that. Like,
yeah, I mean. Yeah,
Ryan Mallett.
Who is it?
Ryan Mallett.
Oh,
yeah.
See? You know?
Rookie.
Right. So, you know, that's a problem. I mean, you know, in Minnesota, they've got McNabb. Who's his backup? Jackson got traded. So who's backing up Donovan McNabb? I know who the Cowboys backup, because it's my team. You know, you guys know who Jay Cutler's backup is because it's your team. I don't know who Jay Cutler's backup is. And the guy just played, right?
Haney.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. Caleb Haney.
I don't want him in there.
So, you know, but I do think if you had to look at it, my opinion would be that, yeah, I mean, if you take Brady from the Patriots and you take, you know, and I think we're going to see, you know, they went and got Kerry Collins over in Indianapolis and
how that plays out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And, you know, the more I think about it, and I respect the fact that K-Star, you were right there in Indianapolis. The more I think about it, I don't know, man. Something inside me is telling me that Peyton Manning is gonna play on Sunday. Something inside me is just saying.
Probably, I guarantee he's busting his ass right now to get on the field. That he's just not clear to practice. I'm not sure what he can really be doing to get on the field. So he's meeting with a bunch of doctors to get all kinds of options of what to do. I'll be right. I like to see him in there. I mean,
there's no way you can let that streak die.
I'd
like
love to see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. How'd you guys do, Urlacher? Are you doing any fantasy football?
Yeah, I just did a league. Did my draft yesterday.
Okay.
I got Mike Vick as my quarterback.
You got Mike Vick?
Calvin Johnson as a wide receiver. I got a few good players.
Nice, nice.
Bears defense.
Bears D. Uh-oh, look out. K-Star, you doing any fantasy football?
I'm in, like, four different money leagues. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I love it.
Hey, how do you handle? You have four leagues that you're in, so it's inevitable that you're gonna have a situation where you have guys going up against each other.
It's horrible. It sucks. It's just a tough situation. I can't really defend it. It's bad. You really don't know what to do. You're just like, oh, damn, he scored. Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, it's playing for me, but it's also against me. It's like one of those circumstances. It's not fun. It's not fun when it happens. Obviously, it's going to happen a few times this year. Although I did draft a lot of players for the most part. I try to keep it consistent. I'm fortunate enough to have, like, in three of my leagues, I had a top two pick. I'm not sure how that happened. I never had top two picks before this year, ever. And in three of the leagues I'm in this year, I had top two picks. So I have Adrian Peterson, of course, and those three.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I think the other thing that's really rough about fantasy football is when, you know, like, for instance, for me, if I play a guy and his starting quarterback's Tony Romo, and I know he's got Romo as his starter, and, you know, it's like, you know, I want Romo to go throw five touchdowns, except I don't want Romo to throw five touchdowns. So, you know, I'll tell you. It's tough, but all right, guys, we got about 10 minutes to go. Any final comments? I thought about doing game predictions, but I'm not going to do game predictions. But what I will offer anybody that wants to, the EAFL for the past few years has done a pick'em, an EAFL pick'em, and you'll find it on, if you go to Facebook and you go to the Madden Voice, you'll find the information on the Madden Voice fan page, and it's free to join, and the winner, whoever has the best, it's straight win-loss, there's no spread or anything, and whoever has the best will get $100 at the end of the regular season. So we've done it. I think this might be, Train, maybe our fourth year doing it.
Yeah, about our fourth year, and of course the winner of last year was yours truly.
Yeah, Train won last year, so we got to take him down this year. And we open it up. Yeah, you do, bro. And we open it up to anybody. This isn't just exclusive EAFL members or Madden Voice fans. Anybody out there that can hear this, it's free. You just got to have a Yahoo account. You go on. And like I said, if you go to the Madden Voice fan page, the information's right there. And you have up until Thursday evening to sign up and make your picks. While you're on the fan page, just like that for me while you're there. And spread it around, man. We need to get that page back up and running and get it strong again. So we'll do that, and then each week I'll come on and just kind of announce, you know, who did well, and maybe I'll see who did well and who didn't do well or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we have a lot to look forward to this year on the Madden Voice. Somebody wanted to say something?
Well, yeah, I was going to say before you start to wrap up, there's one topic we touched, the very first topic we touched, and we talked about the whole preseason record.
Yeah.
You didn't have the stats in front of
yes.
you.
Yes.
Well, just according to last year, all the division winners, none of the division winners had a winning record last year.
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah.
Also, the teams that went 4-0, Carolina, Cincinnati, and the Giants, none of them made the postseason. So,
yeah, you have a one-year record, though.
They got even dated back. Since 2003, 9 teams wrapped up the August schedule 4-0. Only 4 of them produced a winning record in the fall.
Really?
So, yeah. So, I'll tell anybody, I don't ever want to see Chicago go 4-0 in the preseason.
I like 2-2 and 1-3. I don't even like 3-1 because I want to see my team face adversity in the preseason and get all the kinks and make all the mistakes that they need to make in the preseason. Going 4-0 gives a false sense of security that's definitely not real once the season starts, because it's a whole new ball game.
But wouldn't you say a team like the Lions, who have had nothing but disappointment, going 4-0 to them is not false sense of anything, that they've got to feel pretty good about winning some games, including beating the Patriots in preseason, that they've got to look at that as, you know, we're coming around to becoming a competitive team now? Wouldn't you say that they might be the exception to that?
They may be the exception simply because in the they've been working on that chemistry and that continuity, and now they may finally have it. But there's one other thing that people do not consider about preseason games. The team that you face week in, week out, nobody really necessarily game plans to beat Detroit. You know what I'm saying? They don't really study to beat Detroit. They game plan it to find out, how am I going to fill out my roster? Who's the guy that looks so, you know, once it gets into week one, and who's Detroit's opponent? Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay whole week one study is, let's look at the preseason. Let's look at Detroit. How do we beat Detroit? How do we slow down in Dominique Sue? Because you can't.
All right.
So I think when you consider that,
I agree with that. But I still think that if you're a Detroit team that has had, you know, losing records every year for many years, can't find a quarterback, drafting, getting all these wide receivers, and, you know, and now finally you got a defense, you start to put some things together, finished last year, you know, on a good note. I think they won their last four games, if I remember correctly, last year.
Yeah.
Into the preseason, you win those four games. Hey, everyone is doing the same thing. No one's game planning for the other team. They're trying to get their stuff together. So I get that. But the fact that you still did it for that team, I think, is going to springboard them into feeling like this year could be better. I mean, you know, I look at the Cowboys, for instance, when they played their first preseason game, and it was 30 seconds left to go, and they were down. They scored a touchdown. They're down by 1 point, and they went for two. You know, they went for two to win the game, because Jason Garrett, as a new head coach, wants to instill winning into this team. So, hey, I have a chance to win this game right now. I want these guys to understand
that we're good.
That's right. Yeah. You know, so I mean, and I appreciate you finding those stats. And I think, you know, I will agree with those stats, big picture. But I do think there is an exception, and I think the Lions are going to prove to be that exception. I think they're going to be competitive this year, and I think the 4-0 is just going to propel them into more competitiveness than had they went
0-4. Do you guys remember how good the Packers' offense looked last year in preseason? You guys can't tell me that wasn't telling at all. With that starters, they went into the season hot last year, that offense. It started in the preseason. Like, I know people want to say preseason doesn't matter, but the starter play does matter. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be sloppy heading into the season. Like, you just don't. I understand, you know, the Bears fans want to sit there and downplay that, you know, because of offensive line issues and all that stuff. But the Packers were extremely hot in the preseason last year. They were lighting up the board with that first unit. You know, and I think if you play well in the preseason, if your starting unit's playing well in the preseason, you already have a leg up because you want the timing there. And some teams don't have the timing right now, especially with this preseason is a little different without, you know, with the lockout, with no OTAs, anything like that. They're just trying to sharpen up right now. They're trying to tighten the gears. A lot of teams still have a lot of work to do, like the Bears. We'll see what happens regular season.
Right. I agree.
I would never downplay Rodgers and them Packers doing good. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. at 3 minutes to go, and I need to do a couple of things. So, listen, let me do this. Let me just mute you guys for a second here. First of all, and I've just muted Erlacher, K-Star, and my co-host Train. Let me thank these guys, Train particularly, for committing to be a perpetual co-host. K-Star always has been a supporter of the Madden Voice, and we appreciate his calling in. And Erlacher, the commissioner of the EAFL, by the way, if you want to join the EAFL, EAFLmadden.com/join if you want to join the EAFL. Very competitive, in my opinion, the best Madden league out there, if you ask me. But listen, I want to end on a somber but positive note. 10 years ago, we had a terrorist attack in this country, and a lot of people lost their lives, and Sunday the NFL is going to do a lot to support that. The Madden Voice, the EAFL, and the Madden community's hearts go out to anyone who lost any family members, you know, to 9/11. And our thoughts and our prayers are going to be with all of you. And you know, that said, let's end on a very patriotic note, and we'll see you next week.